Thirsty Thursday on 1460 KXNO continues as we go north to Whiskey River in Ankeny for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. And now here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Brent Bloom.
It's another week of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Jared Stansberry coming to you live from Whiskey River in Ankeny. Come on out, have a few beers, have some food. I will be joined by Brent Bloom here in several moments. I actually can see him walking inside right now. But to start the show, I'm joined by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive's Tim Mullen. What's up, my man?
Jared, how's it going, buddy?
Good. Yeah. So hopefully we're going to actually get to watch some Iowa State football this weekend.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough not getting it. Was what, that one play, one touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough to have happen. A lot of people wanted to see what they were going to do and a lot of excitement around it. And then there it is. It's so close.
Right.
It's like when Tommy Boy almost got his wings, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's just you get so close. And we were now we're going to be joined by Brent Bloom. What's up, Brent?
You guys started without me.
And we started without you. We've been on the air for a whole 30 seconds.
Reluctantly, Bloom.
Anything going on this week?
Not that I know of. Yeah. Well, I mean, barring the weather at this point, assuming that the weather cooperates, Iowa State will play Iowa on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, 4 p.m. kick on Fox. You were supposed to be on the call last week, Bloom. What was it like for you standing up in the box while everybody else is kind of wondering what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, at first you're thinking it's only going to be about a half-hour delay because there was only a cell and it would move by. But then when you kept seeing that redevelopment, luckily for us, we weren't on the radio where those guys had to do the Dean Smith four-corner stall for 2.5 hours. We were able to just throw a graphic up there that weren't a delay and actually had the radio feed, so it wasn't like we were working really hard. But just killing time just like you guys, it was just unfortunate. I mean, obviously you would have liked to have played a game going into this week and just in general. I mean, now you may only have 11 games, and it's just a bummer for everybody. I mean, there's no positive really to be taken other than, okay, maybe you didn't get an injury or two, but it was not a fun night for anybody up there. And as the rain kept coming, the lightning kept coming, there was only one obvious answer, and that was to push it. But luckily, the sun came up actually today for the first time in a week.
Yeah.
And there's a football game on Saturday.
There is a football game on Saturday, and you talk about those injuries, and Iowa did play a football game last Saturday, a 33-7 win over Northern Illinois. And as I was putting together the Know Your Opponent piece that we do every Thursday on CycloneFanatic.com, it came to my attention that they do have some guys beat up, a receiver mainly. I can't remember his name. Marcet Smith, is that right?
Yeah.
You know, a couple other guys.
Running back, Ivory Martin.
Yeah, guys that are just banged up coming into this game on Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, as many disadvantages as there are of not playing a football game before you get your biggest rivalry game, I think there are still some advantages that come along with it as well.
Yeah, and it's not like Iowa State just didn't show up that day either. I mean, they went through the whole process of getting warmed up, getting ready, actually snapping. Some guys got, you know, what ended up being, I think, 11 plays, and it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can here nor there. Now, I think to start the game, I always had reps at game speed. That's going to help immediately, but I think you snap into it pretty quickly. It took Iowa half to really get going, so they should be fully functional as far as what they're good at, what they want to do. But then again, it's not a mystery what Iowa wants to do either. So, I don't know.
Right.
I see both sides of this thing. Iowa State clearly shows that they're going to do the three down linemen again.
Yeah.
I mean, they opened up with that, so maybe they'll run some four out there. We already knew that Kyle Kemp and David Montgomery were going to be the focus. Butler's really good. So these things we know, these things Iowa knows too. It's not as if Iowa State's going to roll out Real Mitchell in some sort of exotic package to open the game. So, well, I think once, you know, the first series goes through both offense and defense on Saturday afternoon, then you're on a level playing field again, and we'll see what happens. I think these are two really good teams, and, it's going to be from a matchup standpoint, a fun game all the way around. I mean, I think you look at Iowa State games in the past, this one, from a schematic standpoint, is as fascinating as I can remember. So I can't wait.
And I think that you look think back to that game for Iowa last week. The entire game, the game as a whole, is a good representation, I think, of how good their defense can be.
Sure.
But I think at the same time, you saw kind of how streaky their offense is going to be at times. You know, you score, what was it, 3 points in the first half.
Right.
And then you come out and you score 30 in the second half. It obviously, you're not going to be able to do that very often in the Big Ten. But at the same time, I don't think that they're going to do that very often in the Big Ten either.
No, and if you look at Iowa last year, that's kind of the offense they were. And Tim, I know you watched a bunch of Iowa games where they would have halves where they were brilliant or an entire game where they were brilliant, Iowa State being one of those games, Ohio State being the other one of those games, and then they'd have halves and games that were just dreadful on offense. And you kind of saw that with them on Saturday.
Yeah.
The first half, you know, they made – Stanley was a little bit off, and they couldn't really get a whole lot of push. But then the second half, once they got to short fields – they were able to exert their will a little bit more. So
yeah, the games that caught them last year was they kind of took that half off and the other team didn't. So, I mean, that's a big thing for this weekend, in my opinion. If Iowa State can get off to a quick start, I think that plays well for them because just traditionally Iowa kind of slugs along and then goes in half, makes adjustments. But if the adjustments are already down, you know, 2-3 scores, they're not a great comeback team.
And if you look at the actual half-to-half numbers for Iowa, they were roughly the same, first half, second half.
Yeah.
It's just in the second half, they got some turnovers, and then they were on those shorter fields. Their yards per play were roughly the same. And actually, their yards per play against Northern Illinois was less than their average last year. So right on about, I mean, they were 4.8 yards per play against Northern Illinois. Yep. Last year, they were about 5.1. And that 5.1 was 108th in the nation offensively. Will we see, you know, Brian Ferentz and that offense do anything totally different? I don't think so. And I think this Iowa State defense is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I expect a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
And what team is going to have that playmaker to really bust out? You know, Ferentz is dominant. I mean, I think he's the best tight end Iowa State's going to see this year. But also, Iowa State has its weapons as well. Turnovers, playmakers, that's what it should come down to, and that's what's going to make it fun.
Well, this isn't going to be like last year's game was where, I mean, teams are getting up 17 points and stuff like that, and you're having the lead change hands multiple times. This feels like one that's just going to be a slugfest, you know, and the turnovers are going to be crucial because I think just having possession of the football is going to be incredibly crucial in this game. Just because of both those defenses are going to be so good, they're both so stout in the offenses at this point, we don't really know with Iowa State. And then from what we've seen from Iowa so far, I mean, their receivers struggled on Saturday, dropped some passes. Fant, they make it clear that there's some times where they're, like, really making an effort to get the ball in his hands.
As they should,
but at the same time, it's like if you have somebody if you have somebody that, you know, you feel like can match up there, then that's an advantage that you can have. And then as far as it comes to the run, I mean, I think that's what's going to be the most important thing for Iowa State in this game. Can you make Nate Stanley beat you with his arm? Last year he did. Make him do it 2 years in a row.
Interesting piece, too, that happened last week and that I thought was with Font and actually Hawkinson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of reminded me, you know, not as extreme, but when Gronk got there with Hernandez and the Patriots, it was who's going to hurt you. And you saw, you know, Northern Illinois kind of focus in on Font, and Hawkinson had quite a few right down the middle. I mean, that kid's talented, and he's going to be sitting there going, okay, two up on that guy. I mean, that could be an interesting play, too, how they're going to cover both those tight ends is something they're going to want to be awake for.
Yeah, and the thing with last year's game, it's a totally different Iowa State defense. I mean, I cannot stress enough that front changed the way Iowa State played completely. They were a four-man front against Iowa. Once Wadley was able to get outside those four guys, I mean, he was destructive against Iowa State. He caught some underneath stuff. He took a 5-yard gain into 40, 50 yards. I mean, that game tying touchdown was a 47-yard touchdown, I think. That was a 3-yard pass.
Correct.
But now with this 3-man front, the underneath stuff, it's there, but it's taken away quickly. Will Iowa have the patience, and normally they do, to just chip away, you know, the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6-yard gains without making a mistake? And that's what, if you look at Iowa State's numbers last year, in the Big 12, they gave up 19 points per game on defense. They still gave up some yardage,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that eventually the other team makes a mistake, and that's where Iowa State took advantage. They stopped the run, force other teams to throw, and when you throw, three things happen, and two of them are bad, generally. And can Stanley sit back there and try and pick apart when Iowa State has 8 back with their weapons? I don't know, because, you know the tight ends are good, But those other receivers, the teams that had success against Iowa State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia had a lot of success. And then when they went to that three-man front, those were really the only two, but they also had...
I was going to say, they had David Sills and James Washington.
Big-time receivers that you could just throw it down the field. Does Iowa have that?
It's a great point, because I think Stanley is, you know, he's going to stand back there. He's not taking off out of the pocket. The question will be is when he chucks it up there, is someone going to be there to catch it besides a tight end? And that really is the question. And you saw almost a non-existent wide receiving core in week one. I mean, from Iowa. They weren't there. And if they don't have that ability this game, that's going to be a tough day.
So that's the thing. And then will they be patient enough with their running backs to just try and get those 3-4 yard gains and work their way down their field? In the past, Iowa has done that. And truthfully, Iowa State did not face an offense like Iowa's last year that was patient enough to just keep pounding away on the run, K-State being maybe the closest. But most teams, they get frustrated because they're getting 2-3 yards of carry, and then they're like, well, shoot, now we got to throw it, and that's when bad things happen against that eight-man secondary.
See, even then, and when you mentioned that Kansas State game, the big plays that they got came off of broken plays, you know, where the quarterback was able to get loose and scramble around, and it didn't really have anything to do with the running backs that Kansas State was throwing out there on the field. That's if they can create pressure on Nate Stanley, and, I mean, I know Iowa is historically their offensive line is going to be good, but I still think that Iowa State's going to be able to create some pressure on him at least more than they have in previous years because there's some dudes up front right there. But on the flip side, I think, I mean, Kyle Kemp's not going to be able to stand back there all day and look around before he's got to sling the ball either.
Yeah, and Tim, help us out on as far as Iowa. I mean, they were missing both of their tackles on the offensive line
Tristan
as well.
Wirfs,
so it's new for
Jackson.
Them.
And that was interesting, is because a lot of people are talking about, well, they get their two tackles back. Well, they get their two tackles back who were doing community service last weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be their first game speed, you know. So they're starting right off again too. So to me, they're as fresh as anything more. So than Iowa State is coming with even what they did get to play. So they got that feeling of, hey, we're out here hitting each other. We don't got to look out for each other. So that's you know, just to say the two tackles are back isn't a gimme that, hey, that's going to be a much more solid line. So
yeah, I mean, Iowa on offense, it's no mystery what they want to do. They want to run the stretch play. They want to run power. And then they want to hit you with play action.
Yep.
It's different from Iowa State's defense last year to this one. Because Iowa State's defense now will just kind of not sit back. It's not the right term. But they're less susceptible to that play action stuff because you still have those linebackers going to be more rovers. And then attack from different angles. So, I mean, I just think it's really going to be fun to see how these teams counter and they adjust on the fly.
One thing that I think will be interesting, and this literally just came in my mind, those stretch plays, you think back to that TCU game last year, the drive where they got down inside the five, it ended on Kenny Hill getting sacked, and he fumbled, and Iowa State was able to recover the ball. They got all the way down the field running those outside zone stretch plays. But the thing is, they had multiple times where Iowa State's guys had filled their gaps, and you'd have one or two guys that are just out of position. One of them specifically played one of the safety spots, and he got beat on that twice, I think, on that one drive.
Sure.
If they can be disciplined and those guys that are playing linebacker, that defensive line can hold its space and those guys are able to fill the gaps, I think they'll be okay. But that's what I'm saying. That is the stuff that was beating them a year ago when not many teams were able to run on them the way that TCU was gashing them on that one, those couple drives.
Like I said, Iowa's run game is unique to what they do. I mean, they're good at it because they're consistent and they don't change. And even if they're getting shut down, they usually have a couple of counters that they can try. And with their line, I mean, with their tight ends, they can play those two tight ends. Technically, you know, that's seven large men against three down for Iowa State. You should be able to push the line of scrimmage a little bit. But where Iowa State gets you is then those linebackers can play at so many different levels that if they can get some push at all with Lima, then those guys can come and clean up. Mm-hmm. And then when you are in those third and seven, eights, that's where Iowa State really attacks. They get the tackles for loss. And it's just a chess match. And then let me flip the field real quick, because the Iowa's defensive line has gotten a lot of attention this week, as they should. I mean, they are fifth in the nation now in sacks with five. They were great against Northern Illinois. However, again, Iowa State's counter to that is that Kyle Kemp was sacked 10 times in eight games last year.
Yeah.
Iowa State gave up 1.25 sacks per game, which was in the top 20 nationally. He just doesn't sit back there and wait. He's going to throw it outside quick. He's going to throw it underneath quick to Montgomery. He's not going to let that line develop and just sit back there like a Jacob Parker or Joel Lanning did in years past. And that's why then the Iowa State speed on the outside with a Deshante Jones, with a Butler against those linebackers. Iowa doesn't play nickel a whole lot either.
Right.
So well, then it comes to an advantage Iowa State once the ball is released.
And you think about Iowa from their perspective, they were kind of wishy-washy linebacker all spring going into it. They named Jones their main linebacker, and he's benched
and they
him
benched
too.
Him, yeah.
They're so disappointed with his play after game one. So they're not solid at linebacker, and that to me is the spot. I mean, you just, you know, little whips out of the backfield, that pursuit part, Kemp not, you know, sitting tight. That to me personally, you want to talk about the one big play that may happen, that kind of breakaway is the thing that should scare the Hawkeyes right
That
now.
Feels like where they're going to have their biggest advantage is in those skill position yep. players. Like when yep. you look from each team, the receivers, where Iowa State has probably the widest advantage at that one position of any other on the field, in my opinion.
And what teams have given Iowa's defense trouble in the past? You know, it's the Northwesterns, it's, you know, I guess Purdue gave them a little trouble last year. It's
with
a Penn
mobile
State
quarterback. Yeah, with
who
Nick
runs
Sorley.
That yep. runs that spread stuff, that read option, you know, run pass read stuff that Iowa State does, where you get 3-4 wide, you use your running back out of the backfield, because Iowa's strength is stopping the run. But if you get the ball on the perimeter and you let your speed guys operate on their linebackers and safeties, and inexperienced safeties somewhat,
right.
That's where Iowa State is going to attack. They're going to just run up the middle of Montgomery. Like that's
right.
That's the definition of insanity, because it's not going to work.
Right.
Iowa State knows that with Newell's a center against that defensive line, it's just they're not running straight ahead. But what they can do is get Montgomery on the edge, and that's where he was so good against Iowa a year ago, is out of the backfield catching yep. passes. And when he got on the edge, he was one-on-one with a Josie Jewell. And a lot of times David won that battle, and now you replace a All-American and Jewell with an inexperienced guy. I think that's an advantage to Montgomery and Iowa State. So, again, so many moving pieces. Phil Parker for Iowa is a really smart defensive guy. He clearly will have a plan. You know Matt Campbell's going to have a plan. And it's just who executes. And I mean, it sounds simple, but turnovers are going to be critical. Here's the stat. Iowa State, under Matt Campbell, is 10-2 when they win the turnover battle. They're 1-12 when they don't. So,
it's pretty
I mean,
telling.
It's just – It's just, sometimes football is pretty simple when it comes down to it, and I think who makes the first mistake is going to be extremely important Saturday afternoon.
It is, you know, you said it right off the bat, but it is this one is the first game in a long time where it's truly a chess game. I mean, the first person that makes a mistake leaves the queen exposed.
Yep, yep.
You're done, and that's gonna. I just really think that's gonna be the difference in the game. I mean, even the line we're. I mean, we went at 3.5 for the show.
Yeah, that's a possession.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to make some picks from around college football. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Martin Clive, on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. For the second straight year, Whiskey River, located in Ankeny's Prairie Trail District, is the home of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show for the Iowa State athletic season. Whether it's a Saturday night out with the bros or lunch with the family, Whiskey River and Ankeny's great food, drinks, and friendly service makes it the perfect spot for any occasion. Whiskey River's wall-to-wall TVs make it the perfect place to watch football, baseball, and every sport in between. Plus, you can always join the Cyclone Fanatic staff to talk Cyclone sports on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 at Whiskey River in Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
It's the final month for the end of summer sell down at Carl Chevrolet. All month we have huge savings on many new Chevrolets. Receive up to $13,000 off 2018 Silverado half-ton crew cabs, up to $7,000 off 2018 Equinox LT models, or up to 12% off 2018 Tahoes and Suburbans. All this when financed through GM Financial. Plus, with the largest inventory of new Chevrolets in Iowa, the selection has never been better. It's the best time of the year to save big at Iowa's number one dealer for all brands, Carl Chevrolet. Find new roads and experience why more Iowans drive a Chevy from Carl Chevrolet. Or find details and pricing online at carlchevrolet.com. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90, in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job. Job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Ever since the first footballs were made of pigskin, there's been a connection between football and pork. Today, that connection thrives in parking lots, where you'll find everything from spicy spare ribs to bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin being served at tailgating parties. Once again, without pork, football just wouldn't be football. This message is brought to you by the Iowa pork producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating more delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
This year, it's our year. The year we win it all. This is the year the flag flies. For wins. For big games. For titles. This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team.
These colors? These colors mean everything.
And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The largest selection of team flags anywhere. Football, basketball, hockey, NASCAR, and more. Shop 3719 Southwest 9th Des Moines or heartlandflags.com.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here to tell you a little bit about me away from the microphone, and that's the love that I have for my daughter, which is why every year in August I head to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center to get my annual physical. Now, I'm only 33 and luckily I'm a healthy man, but this is all about preventative medicine. My daughter relies on me, and I want to be there to watch her in t-ball games, dance recitals, and God willing, be there to walk her down the aisle. Small decisions that we make today greatly impact our future, and my friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center are here to help. Visit them at iowaclinic.com to find a doctor near you, which shouldn't be hard, as the Iowa Clinic Men's Center has locations all over the metro.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Jared Stansbury, Brent Bloom, and Tim Mullen from Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, coming to you live from Whiskey River in Ankeny. Tim, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on down at Nebraska Furniture Mart right now?
Okay, guys, so this is something that's been in the works for quite a while, and we're very, very excited about it, but we got some great news going on at Nebraska Furniture Mart, and the fact that we're moving.
What?
We're moving. We're staying in Clive, but we're heading out right now. We're off 94th Street, but we're heading out to 156th in Hickman.
Yeah.
There's that old doll store out there. We have purchased it, and we're in the middle of rebuilding it right now, so we got a lot of growth coming. Just state-of-the-art, up-to-date showroom, great design,
awesome.
A lot of features for the customers to come in and figure out what they want, what they like. More room, more in-stock product, just really able to serve our customers a lot better. And the good thing we have going along with that right now is we're getting ready to go into a hiring mode. We're starting to prep for that, look at that. We got a lot of great opportunities available for people right now. Even in our store right now, we have opportunities for retail flooring salespeople, retail appliance salespeople, customer service. We're looking for some floor managers.
Tim, don't tell Chris, but would you hire me?
I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay, sounds good.
I take you, Stansbury. Just save you from seat.
Yeah.
You're too tall to sell flooring.
That's probably
true. You're too far away from it.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of good stuff. All you need to do right now is we're, of course, up on Career Builder and things like that, and you can go on to NFM.com and switch over to the Clive store and look for active openings. But it's a great time right now. It's something the staff at Nebraska Furniture Mart has been working very, very hard under limited conditions and limited size and limited resources for a number of years. This is really going to give them the opportunity to solidify what they've done and the great job they've done out there for us.
I know for a fact from firsthand experience the work culture at Nebraska Furniture Mart is top-notch.
Yeah.
It really is. So those opportunities would be great. I mean, it's a great place. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery. My wife worked at NFM for several years and just loved it. And it's really is, if you can, with the new store, what a great opportunity for somebody to join a cool team.
It's a lot of fun. And, the Blumkin family has been running the company for over 80-plus years. And I worked for places before, and all I ever said was I want to work somewhere where I felt like I was working for a family. From Ron and Herb Blumkin, running the company, along with Tony Bolt, the president of the company right now, just great people. I mean, they come in the store. There's no fear. There's no anguish. It's great. They're coming to see us. Very laid-back atmosphere, but we're serious about what we do. We love taking care of our customers. Great product, great selection. So good things coming our way. We'll hear more about it as things get going, but a lot of opportunities. If you're looking for a great job and a great place to work, come check us out.
When is the store open again, the new store?
We're looking spring of 19.
Awesome. So before you know it.
Yeah, if I gave an exact date, I think our project construction people may come after me because that's a little fluid at this point. But
I grew up like a block from there.
Really?
That's my old hood.
Is it?
I was there before there was even a Dolls.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're a hipster or something?
Well,
do you want us to get you a cookie? I don't know. Cool story,
clearly,
bro.
Clearly, everybody was following me out west.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously.
I was in Waukee before we were like a Dill.
Nice. I think there's a Barbara Mandrill song somewhere there.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to make some picks?
Let's do it.
What are the standings from last week, quickly, just so we can embarrass C-Dub?
I know is that Chris went, 1-4?
1-4. And you, sir, and I went 3-2. Just crushed him.
Par for the course.
I couldn't argue.
So how did it work with the fact that they didn't play the Iowa State game?
No bet.
We had six games. We only took 5 to record.
Okay,
Although, well on our way to cover that one, too.
Which, if you remember, C-Dub took South Dakota. We both took Iowa State. It would have been 1-5 and 4-2.
It was headed to 84-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, if the statistics that we saw out there, I mean, Iowa State was probably going to put up 1,000 yards of total offense.
I think so. That makes sense.
All right. I want to preface this whole segment by saying that I am making picks that were made by Chris.
Yeah, you should.
So I don't want to be held accountable for how awful these picks end up being.
Rubbish.
I just want to make that fair or put that out there straight. All right, Mississippi State. 9.5-point favorites on the road at Kansas State. Kansas State looked absolutely awful on Saturday night against the Coyotes of South Dakota.
Right.
Bloom, what do you got?
This is the vampire special, though. Like, Bill Snyder getting 9.5 against an SEC team at home. I don't even care if they're rolling out South Dakota's roster. He's covering the 9.5. I mean, it's lock it up.
I couldn't believe the spread, to be honest with you. And I get it's SEC and all that, but I'm with Bloom. Even all the years where I've bet on the vampire, getting closer to Halloween, all the stuff we've said over the years, 9.5? Really? I'll take K-State all day there.
C-Dub's taking them, too. I think I would take Mississippi State, though.
Okay. Well,
I think the vampire's mojo is gone.
Not. He does this every year.
It ran out when they got those lucky breaks against Iowa State last year. Everybody thought that he was going to retire, and now he came back.
Now he's never leaving.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, nope, the magic's gone now, Bill.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hope so.
All right, Colorado on the road at Nebraska, the old Big 8 matchup. The Huskers are a 5-point favorite in Memorial Stadium. Tim, what do you got?
Okay, so this is kind of a partner pick. I got my man that works for me here at the NFM store in Clive's. Name's Rick Hosing. This is a born and bred Nebraska kid.
He might as well be a little red.
Yeah, he's just tried and true, hardcore. But I says to him, do you really feel good about this one? And he's like, lead pipe lock, no doubt, slamming him home. And I said, I mean, you saw the points Colorado put up. And he goes, doesn't matter, lead pipe. So this is Rick Hosing taking Nebraska via my pick. I got Nebraska here.
I know.
But I don't feel good about it.
I know, Rick, so I'm actually going to go with Colorado. Because that makes me feel better about them.
C-Dub's taking Nebraska. I would take Nebraska, too, especially after the way last week went. That stadium was as jacked as I was not there.
But is that good or bad?
I would say that it's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good vibes around there right now. A lot more good vibes than there has been in
a long
time.
Well, they're going to win 16 games this year.
As Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Kind of worried about the song that's playing right now because I know the name of it, but hopefully nobody can hear this on the radio. Clemson on the road at Texas A&M. We found out today that Cyclone Fanatic contributor Jay Jordan will be in attendance. The Tigers, 13-point favorites. C-Dub's taking Clemson. I would say this is a pretty easy one to pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think Clemson has a chance to win the national championship this year. Their defensive line is Alabama level good. I mean, they got 4 first rounders essentially. I know A&M is rebuilding a little bit under Jimbo. They were sluggish in week one. I just think Clemson's filthy.
Yeah. They got like six guys that are going to play in the NFL on the defensive line.
Yeah, it's so easy to take Clemson here, which is why I will take A&M.
Yeah, well,
I honestly looked at it from what you said, where I think Jimbo pulled a move that you pull in, like, you know, T-ball. He looked past that first game and has been thinking about this game. I think he's going to be ready. You know, do they win? No, but 13.5, I mean, that's a good stretch at home. Jimbo Fisher ready. I'll take A&M here at home.
Making picks right now on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. All right, moving on to the West Coast. One of the late-night games, a rivalry that's actually grown rather heated in the past several seasons. The USC Trojans on the road at Stanford, going between the trees. The Cardinal are 3.5-point favorites. Bloom, what do you think?
I swear we pick this game every year, and the result seems to be the same every year. And it's always like a 3 or 4 point spread one way or another. And Stanford always wins, it seems like, by 2 touchdowns. I'll just go with that. I know USC's got a true freshman quarterback, so I'll take the Cardinal.
That's probably a good pick because C-Dub's taking USC.
Okay, well, that makes you feel better.
I don't feel good about this then because that means I'm with C-Dub here. I mean, I'll be honest, that was rough last week watching Stanford barely, which again, first game jitter stuff, but they have Bryce Love.
Yeah.
And that was ugly. So, I mean, I think there's a little second-guessing themselves about what they're getting into, and, you know, that is a slugfest. It could go either way, in my opinion, but I'll ride with SoCal here.
Another West Coast game. I'll give you guys a stat right here. In 9 games where the Big Ten has visited Sun Devil Stadium and the Arizona State Sun Devils, they are 0-9.
Wow.
This weekend, they will host Michigan State, and the Spartans are 6.5-point favorites. What do you got, Tim?
You know, when you play roulette and you bet on black, you know, 20, 30, 40, eventually it's going to hit red. And those stats didn't include Herm Edwards as a head coach. So you give me Dan Antonio versus Herm Edwards. I don't care if he's flying 3,000 miles and playing at 8 in the morning. I'll take Michigan State here on the road.
Yeah, did you ever watch the MTV show, like, Scared Straight? Remember that show, like, back in the 90s?
Where they scared the little kids
I think that's what happened to Michigan State against Utah State on Friday night. I mean, they got their attention. I think Arizona State's good. Herm Edwards, whatever. But I just think Michigan State has a chance
to
be pretty maybe win the East of the Big Ten. So I take them by 10.
The fact that Herm Edwards is a college football coach, I think it's been covered a lot, but I almost feel like we haven't covered it enough.
Can you imagine Hard Knocks?
That should have been a reality show.
Well, and also having been a Chiefs fan my entire life, I am a bit jolted here because between him and Haley, I'm not sure one I've disliked more in the last 30 years as a head coach for the Chiefs. I don't trust him running a program. Love him as an analyst.
Did you like him or Romeo Crennel more?
Oh, Romeo Crennel. In a heartbeat.
All right.
Guy had passion.
All right. Game of the week. 4 p.m. on Fox Saturday afternoon. Iowa State visiting Kinnick Stadium in the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Hawks are 3.5-point favorites. I think that it's kind of moved around, hasn't it, over the last several days?
Yeah. 3.5, 4.5.
So yeah. C-Dub's taking Iowa State.
You know, I'm going to take the points just because, you know, the home road thing hasn't really been a factor in this series.
The road team's actually like 9.
Six.
Yeah, yeah. They've won the majority of the games.
You can find a trend in this game that fits whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I think both teams are really good. The not playing thing, I don't know. Maybe that plays into it, but
yeah.
I'll just take the points. If I have two even teams, I'll take the points.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bloom hook here. If it was under 3, I'd maybe gotten to give me over a score that game. And I still think it's, you know, one big play being a difference in things happening. But the funny thing is I feel like this is the line about every year. I mean, it's close to this. It's always
last
that, like,
year was about this.
Yeah,
same.
It's always that close.
And I was usually favored.
Could go either way sort of thing. And I don't love the line either way. I've talked about it with a lot of my friends this week. This is always the time of year where, hey, I'll bet you a bottle of this, $10. I touched this game in one place, and I'm regretting even putting anything on that. But it's just too close to call, in my opinion.
I think it's gonna be great. I mean, this is fun.
This is what
it should be.
Yeah.
The game's not played on the internet. It's played 4 o'clock at Kinnick Stadium, and these are two evenly matched teams with great aspirations too. So it means something. Iowa State went there 2 years ago with really just kind of a hope and a prayer, and that was gone in 5 minutes. They can compete. Even if they get down, either team gets down in this game, there's going to be fight. Iowa showed a lot of fight last year at Jack Trice. I think a similar thing could happen.
That's an interesting point. Last year was the first time that in a long time you saw Iowa come back.
They did?
Because there was a point when Iowa State was up 10, and I thought it was over. You know, yeah. So who knows, you know, what happens this
year. I will say, and I think Iowa State fans listening to this will feel conflicted, it will be Big 12 officials.
Will it?
Yes.
Man, I'm going to need to text Ted Flint. He said it's not played on the radio. He told me or played on the internet. He told me he's starting at left guard on Saturday. I've got some serious questions now. But, all right, Tim, tell us one more time where to find you down at Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Yeah, we're off 94. We're on 94th Street off of Hickman and Clive. Come out and see us. We got a lot of great things going. And, again, if you're looking for a great opportunity to work for a phenomenal company and a great family, we're available on NFM.com. We're, of course, out on a career blur. But we're looking for flooring and appliance salespeople. We're looking for cashiers. We're looking for floor managers. It's a great opportunity to come aboard a great company. We look forward to having people come out.
Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again next week, my man.
Thanks, guys.
When we come back, we'll talk to the docs up at the McFarland Clinic. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
It's the final month for the end of summer sell down at the GM certified leader, Carl Chevrolet. Right now, we need your certifiable trade. If you have a 2013 or newer Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC with less than 75,000 miles, it's a perfect scenario for you, the buyer. And just announced, having trouble finding the quality pre-owned vehicle you're looking for? No problem. Let your dealer for life find it for you. We will locate, inspect, sell, and deliver your vehicle to you. No more endless searching to find what you want. We'll do all the hard work. Stop in today and get the process started. Integrity, trust, satisfaction, and confidence. Visit CarlChevrolet.com to view our complete inventory and pricing. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
If the recent storms have left behind surprises in your basement, Royal Flooring is here to help. Hi, I'm Bill Ludwig. There's not much you can do to prevent water in your basement. It happens to a lot of us, even me. When it's time to replace your carpet, though, you can choose to shop for your new flooring from locally owned Royal Flooring in both Altoona and Urbandale. With our huge selection from Mohawk Flooring, great service, and free expert in-home measuring, you'll love everything about your new flooring and installation from Royal Flooring. Maybe even the reason you need new flooring in the first place. Well, maybe.
And while you're shopping for your new flooring from Mohawk Flooring at Royal, keep in mind that Royal Flooring is locally owned and a part of the same communities in which we live. They're most concerned with helping our customers get back the home they love, not about profit margins. Not only will you find an incredible selection of Mohawk Flooring at Royal Flooring, but also the best and most competitive prices.
Shop Royal Flooring today in Altoona, just off 8th Street, next to Hy-Vee, and in Urbandale at 100th Street in Douglas. ShopRoyalFlooring.com.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
This year, it's our year.
No. This year, it's my team.
Yeah, this is the year.
This season, everyone is going to know where I'm tailgating.
My team, my colors, my flag. Hello, it's why I fly the flag.
This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team. And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The largest selection of team flags anywhere. Every team, every sport, every flag. Almost. Buy online and get free shipping. HeartlandFlags.com.
Welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Wow, I almost choked there.
Still going to be Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, just near Waukee.
Yep. We are at Whiskey River in Ankeny, but right now we are going to go up to Ames, to the doctors at the McFarland Clinic. Joined now on the phone by Dr. Buck from the McFarland Clinic. Doc, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. Looking forward to a great game this weekend. How are you guys doing?
Doc, what are some of your memories? We're doing great. What are some of your memories of Cy-Hawk Week? I know you've been a part of several of these things.
Well, actually, this is my 15th trip down to Kinnick Stadium with the team. So I've been through a lot of games. This is the games here. Of course, my favorite down in Iowa City is when we came from behind with Seneca Wallace and snuffed out the Hawkeyes that had a halftime lead. That was my favorite game there. And it's a great environment. Look forward to it. And the pink locker room is just a source of great conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they feel like that really psychs some people out. But
What about you, Doc?
Yeah, does it psych you out?
Change your game?
No, not at all. I mean, I think, you know, if it was somehow sprung on the team, you know, it maybe have an element of surprise, but it's really a non-factor there. The team's going to be in there sky high. In fact, I mean, a lot of positive emotions, and Coach Campbell's actually been emphasizing kind of keeping your emotions in check. So I don't think it will have any factor whatsoever. But anyway, they really did pull out all the stops there. I mean, everything you could imagine is pink down there. But we've had a great August practice. You know, injury-wise, the team's in as good a shape as it's ever been at this time of year. I mean, we are ready to play.
Well, should be fresh as well. But Doc, I know the Lightning gets the story from the first game, but I'm just curious. Let's say Iowa State was able to play, there was no Lightning, and it was a wet field. As the docs that take care of the Cyclones, what types of things are you concerned with a wet playing surface? And there may be some rain in the forecast again on Saturday. We hope not.
Yeah. Well, usually rain slows the play down a little bit, a little softer field. I mean, actually, overall, we'd see, you know, fewer injuries on a wet, sloppy field. You know, anything can happen. But I don't worry about any, you know, additional injuries with poor footing. I mean, it probably is a positive thing from injury standpoint, but a neg from the players who like, you know, to get their speed and cuts and things like that.
Doc, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll see you in Iowa City on Saturday.
It'll be great. Nice talking to you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Doc.
Dr. Buck from the McFarland Clinic up in Ames. Those are the docs that work with the Cyclones. Tells us that the Cyclones are in as good a shape as they've been in quite some time. So it's definitely good to hear that.
Literally nobody got hurt on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, and that's kind of what we opened the show with, where, you know, I don't necessarily say that playing a game is a disadvantage, but when you can go into this game knowing that you are at completely full health.
No doubt. And, you know, talking point or not, the guys that we're going to miss the South Dakota State game are back.
Yeah.
And will have an impact. I mean, Tonga Mo is going to play. Demonte Roos going to play.
It is interesting to me, though, that he is not even on the 2 deep.
Yeah, I still think. I mean, depends. Now, if I was beating that three-man front with the run game, I think you look to him. But they've got some options, too. But I think more than anybody, it's Julian Good-Jones.
Yeah.
That is the biggest of the three. Let me throw this out at you. I've been thinking. Big storyline going into Saturday is going to be Colin Newell's first road game for sure and really first extensive action at center. Does Iowa State at some point, if things are not going well for Colin, could you move Good-Jones back to center and then put Foster at left tackle? I was one of the few who's actually been able to see a replay of what happened in the South Dakota State game. And Foster was really good in that limited sample size. I still think Foster may be one of the best five linemen. But do you want to make that gamble of moving Good-Jones from left tackle? Just food for thought.
That's bold, man. That would be an incredibly bold move, and it would be, I don't know.
Because I don't know how I don't know how much Good-Jones even worked at center. But I'm just thinking, if it gets to the point where Iowa State needs to get five proven linemen out there, Foster would be one of those five.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, I can't argue that one bit. But to go back to that point you made about Kamilah Tongamoa, I thought about this earlier when we were talking about the game. Someone that if Iowa's rush offense does get going a little bit that I think could be a bit of an X factor, Jamal Johnson.
Yeah.
We've heard how good of a camp he had. We've heard how good he's been since spring. Sounds like he's really turned a corner in his collegiate career. He's showed some flashes in his first two college seasons. If he could go out there and have a nice game against the Hawkeyes and really help them solidify that defensive front, I mean, that would be a nice first step for him this season.
Well, and then you ask yourself, who's more proven at this level, Jamal Johnson or a Mike Rose?
Yeah.
I would say could go potentially to
4-2.
Yeah. I mean, they've got these possibilities. I think Rose is going to be good, but worry about him in that atmosphere. And Johnson's played through it before. I mean, that's what makes Iowa State's defense a little bit different this year, is they can throw some different things. I still expect to see majority of that 3-3 stack, as they call it. And like we talked about in the first segment, can Stanley beat Iowa State over the top with his receivers? He missed some open throws last year against Iowa State that he made against Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was not good in week one. But he also last year didn't turn the ball over. He looked pretty shaky in week one, did have an interception. I think that will change the game, is if his completion percentage, you know, is above 60%, I like Iowa's chances. I just don't know if it will be.
Yeah. I mean, the thing to me, just from those few plays that we saw about Iowa State's defense, is just how much faster they are as a team at getting to the football. I mean, 2 years ago, where they were to where they're at now, where they even were at the end of last year, I mean, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And Kirk Ferentz said that during their press conference this week, that, you know, that team is not a representation of what the program is, because these guys have really turned it around. And it was even interesting to me to hear Brian Ferentz be as complimentary as he was based on some of the things that he said previously about Iowa State.
And Iowa State in the Big 12, which fans of the Big 10 always rail on the lack of defense, in the Big 12, Iowa State allowed less points per game in Big 12 play than Iowa did in Big 10 play.
Yeah.
Like, that defense was really good last year, and they returned six all-Big 12 guys from that. I don't anticipate a huge step back. Now, people have time to scheme against that defense. But the beauty of that defense isn't that it's so exotic. It's that you've got...
It's that it's so simple that it seems exotic. Yeah.
And you got guys running around, and Iowa State has its best athletes on the field, and they go make plays. I mean, what Iowa State changed was basically take away the complexity of a defense. You just said, go out there and run the ball.
Right.
It's not quite that simple, but really took away some of the complexity, and that's what allowed Iowa State to quit thinking like they did in the Iowa game, like they did, you know, against Akron even a little bit, and just go play. And that's why they were so good the rest of the way. And Iowa State held Memphis, who, by the way, had a month to prepare for that same defense, to 360 yards and 20 points. That was a Memphis team that was top five in the nation last year. So even those teams that have schemed against Iowa State, you know, Memphis was averaging, they had a guy who was averaging 9 yards a carry. They could run the ball. Mm-hmm. Iowa State was still able to shut it down. I don't. I mean, I think that's going to be the fascinating thing. That's why I lean to Jared. This being lower scoring. I've said that before, and it's ended up being shootouts. But I really think this thing is in the low 20s at most.
All right, Bloom, you talked me into it. Iowa State 60, Iowa 7.
It's not going that far. I mean, I do think Iowa State's going to struggle at time. It's going to struggle to run the ball at all.
Yeah.
And so then, can Montgomery and Jones and Milton and some of those speed guys work on the outside?
The thing about Iowa State's offense, though, is that they can manufacture some of that run game with their short passing.
That's what they're going to have to do.
And we've seen them before use those guys and swing. The person that I am really excited to see on Saturday, and I think that we're finally getting an opportunity to see him, is Kanae Nwangwu.
Yeah, forget about him.
Because if Iowa State's receivers can block as well as we have seen them do in previous years, and you're using him in that swing passing game, even start him in the backfield, put him in motion and swing it out there and you throw it to him that way, he's going to do some damage. And that's just like handing the ball off. And you're basically putting somebody out in space before you – and the offensive line hardly has to do anything in that scenario. Then it's relying on your big receivers that you've got in front of him.
Yeah, so it's those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah.
It's the running backs for Iowa State against the linebacker safeties for Iowa. Who do you want?
I mean, I'd take Iowa State. That's my opinion, I don't know.
Exactly. So that's
– See, and that's the thing I think that this staff recognizes. Like, they're not going to try and go out there and run the ball straight down the pipe because they know that they can't do it, and they know they can't do it against this group, this defensive line. But I think they know that they have an advantage on the edge, and they're going to try and get the ball to the edge as fast as they possibly can. And they're going to try and do it in exotic ways.
No question. And Montgomery, what makes Montgomery good isn't that he's a Troy Davis or just giving the ball and let him run.
Right.
It's that he can do so many different things. I mean, Iowa State will line him up in the slot. They'll line him up in the backfield. They'll probably even do some direct snap stuff with him. They can move him around to put them in the best position. And Iowa State's seen good defense before. Was they able to move the ball times last year? I think Iowa's very fundamentally sound. They always are. It's just those are the matchups. Who has the playmakers to break one off that's a 5-8 yard gain that turns into 20, 30, 40 and beyond? And I mean, I really this game can go either way. I mean, to be steadfast one way or another I think is silly.
Yeah.
But you can make an argument both sides. And in years past, like 2 years ago, you couldn't make that argument. We could pick Iowa State, but it was really just
that was wishful thinking.
Yeah, at most. And
yeah.
Everybody knew what that outcome was being, and it ended up being a lot worse.
Right.
I think this year, either side has their talking points, and that's what's going to make it very competitive.
We're going to wrap up the show when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
There needs to be more football games this season. And here's the reason why. There are simply too many pork recipes that I want to try at tailgating parties. Bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin, double-rump baby back ribs, pulled pork sliders, to mention just a few. You'll find more than 2,000 crowd-pleasing recipes at porkbeinspired.com. This message brought to you by the Iowa Pork Producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here with a message from my friends at Centurion Stone of Iowa. Great guys. I love going in there, talking with Judd, talking with Joe, and looking at the beautiful 30,000 square feet of inventory in their warehouse. It's right there in the corner of Ankeny. The showroom has so many displays. They offer installation, delivery. They do interior work, exterior work, and their manufactured stone is cost effective. Do a makeover to your home and use a great Cyclone Fanatic supporter and two awesome friends of mine at Centurion Stone of Iowa. I promise you'll be treated with a first-class experience and you'll want to go back again and again.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
When it comes time for my friends and I to decide where we'll watch college football on a Saturday night, there's no better choice than Whiskey River in Ankeny. Whiskey River is the home of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show again for the 2018 season and is the perfect spot for your get-together of all ages. Whiskey River's great food, satisfying drinks, friendly staff, and wall-to-wall TVs make deciding where to go a no-brainer for any situation. And don't forget, you can always join the Cyclone Fanatic staff on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 at Whiskey River in Ankeny.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you.
If the recent storms have left behind surprises in your basement, Royal Flooring is here to help. Hi, I'm Bill Ludwig. There's not much you can do to prevent water in your basement. It happens to a lot of us, even me. When it's time to replace your carpet, though, you can choose to shop for your new flooring from locally owned Royal Flooring in both Altoona and Urbandale. With our huge selection from Mohawk Flooring, great service, and free expert in-home measuring, you'll love everything about your new flooring and installation from Royal Flooring. Maybe even the reason you need new flooring in the first place. Well, maybe.
And while you're shopping for your new flooring from Mohawk Flooring at Royal, keep in mind that Royal Flooring is locally owned and a part of the same communities in which we live. They're most concerned with helping our customers get back the home they love, not about profit margins. Not only will you find an incredible selection of Mohawk Flooring at Royal Flooring, but also the best and most competitive prices.
Shop Royal Flooring today in Altoona, just off 8th Street, next to Hy-Vee, and in Urbandale at 100th Street in Douglas. ShopRoyalFlooring.com.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, Jared Stansberry and Brent Bloom at Whiskey River in Ankeny. The football season might, or the NFL season might, get a little bit of a delay here based on the weather radar that we just saw. But
yeah, they just actually, I'm not even making this up, they just announced a 30-minute delay for that game.
Oh, for real?
I think so. I just saw that on Twitter.
Hey, but you know what? That gives you 30 more minutes to get out here to Whiskey River and Ankeny to come and have some beers and watch the start of the NFL season. We were just talking in the break about Eni Uwazurike and what he was able to do last Saturday in brief time before the cancellation of the game against South Dakota State. And I'm really excited to see what he's able to do this Saturday. Finally back at his natural position. He was playing inside a lot last year. Now he's back at the end spot. The way you put it, that's not J.D. Wagner out there.
No, and J.D. was
nothing
great.
Against J.D., because J.D. was awesome.
Yeah,
but the dude's a freak.
Iowa State's best NFL prospect is probably not, well, it's Montgomery, Butler, and then right there is Uwazurike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think
he's... I think Lima will play in the NFL,
Lima
too.
Will, yeah, I think, but Uwazurike, if you go to a practice, you go, whoa. That guy.
Yeah.
And even last year's like, well, that guy is really good, but he never really could get on the field at his natural position. But he popped this fall camp. He was great all fall camp. And then in that series against South Dakota State, small sample size, but he was dominant. I mean, mm-hmm. he made a play that was a wow play that, as much as we love J.D. Wagner, J.D. Wagner couldn't do.
No.
I mean, Wazirike's top end is above Jaquan Bailey's as well. You throw him on a three-man front, and if the Cyclones can get pressure with that three, it just makes things so much easier for the back eight. He has a chance to put in a great season and set himself up to be one of the best defensive linemen I really think Iowa State's ever had.
Yeah, and he's like 6'8", 6'9". He's huge.
Well, I think they list him at 6'6", 290.
He looks way bigger than 6'6",
I mean, 6'7".
Dude. Yeah.
So you,
I mean, he looks way bigger than that.
Everybody's tall to me, but he definitely looks – he's a large man, and he can move too. I mean, I think he will be a transformational talent on that defensive line for Iowa State.
Your reply to when someone was calling you short on the internet yesterday was maybe one of my favorite things ever. I'm disappointed for your NBA career as well.
I mean, that's why I didn't make it, clearly.
Obviously, that's got to be it.
If I was normal size, if I was 5'11 and not 5'7, then maybe. The jump shot was there.
I've seen your jump shot before. But yeah, man, it's going to be a fun day on Saturday. Are you going to be in Iowa City?
I will be there.
Oh, yeah, you'll be there, obviously. I know you're riding back with us.
Yeah, I will be there. I will be on the Cyclone Radio Network pregame starting at 2 o'clock.
It's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I think everybody else is excited. I'm just ready to see some football, man. I want to see this team out on the field. Thanks to Tim Mullen from Nebraska Furniture, Martin Clive. Thanks to Sean Jankowski for being our producer back in the studio. Thanks to Whiskey River in Ankeny for being the home of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. We'll talk to you guys again next week, 6 o'clock, right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.